This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to Locked On Universe, home of the bizarre, peculiar, and unheard of stories of UFO legend and paranormal lore. Welcome back, welcome back. Happy to be back. Hopefully you guys are doing awesome and taking care of yourselves. Well, we've had an interesting one here. We had a little flood in the old basement, a lot of rain, so had to do a little extra work this morning trying to mitigate that, but we're back here. The lab's still here. It actually flooded right here, right where I'm sitting. But it didn't really cause, like, you know, inches of damage. It was more like it flooded the carpet tiles and I had to take them up and dry them off. So got lucky. We'll see. I did a little gardening and we'll see if I architected a way for the water to not flow directly in. So hopefully you guys are doing awesome, taking care of yourselves. Today we're going to go down a little rabbit hole with a Mr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, who, you know, always seems to be the smartest man in the room, but I often question his theories. And today he gave us five predictions for the year 2050. Okay, so we're in 2024. It's 25 years away. Let's put this into perspective. Okay, and these are sci-fi, science fiction, science fact predictions, and I'm going to play them on the TV right behind me. So if we think about progress and how much progress we can make in 25 years, let's take a look at, let's say like 1925 to 1950, right? I like to think of planes and I like to think of cars. Cars, you know, they made a bit of a difference, you know, a bit of a change in 25 years. Planes definitely took a little bit of a leap, but we got jets, right? Instead of propellers, we got jets. So we took a little bit of a leap, but it was still a plane and we were still using aerodynamics. So I want to show you a couple of these predictions that he has, and we'll talk about them one at a time. We'll stop and we'll talk about it. We'll move on to the next prediction, because this is one of the greatest, you know, minds of our era, and I want to see what you think. So let's look at the first one here, okay? And we'll pull it up on the old TV screen here, and we'll see what you think here, okay?
Leaving psychologists and psychiatrists without jobs.
Let's go back.
I make a prediction by the year 250. I have a bunch of predictions here.
Okay, let's hear it.
Neuroscience and our understanding of the human mind will become so advanced that mental illness will be cured, leaving psychologists and psychiatrists without jobs.
Okay, so that's the first one. I think he's got three or four. Now, I don't think that we're going to get that far in 25 years. That's a huge jump. He makes a couple big leaps here. I don't think we're going to get to the point where we're going to cure all mental illness, because mental illness, and I've worked in the mental health field for a long time, mental illness is caused by a lot of factors. It can be trauma-based. It could be genetic. And then it can be totally not part of genetics or trauma at all. It can be just part of your personality. They call them personality disorders, and psychosis psychopathy and sociopathy, where you're generally you have no empathy. A lot of your big time murderers and things like that, those guys are sociopaths, psychopaths, and they just don't feel the same way that most people should feel. So I just don't think we're going to cure everything. I mean, in my mind, I would ask Neil, how would you go about solving that? What makes you actually think technology is going to get to that point. Is it going to be a technology where we use some sort of vibrational device, sound device that syncs the brain waves, like HemiSync, like the Monroe Institute, where they bring your brain waves in sync with both hemispheres, right, and kind of allow the brain to work naturally. Is that what he's thinking? Because if that's the case, and there's somebody pioneering that technology, that's great. Tell us about it. Maybe we can follow them. Maybe we can fund them. But to make like a general, you know, grandiose statement like a few of these seems to be a big jump. Let's look at the next one here. And hang on one second. I'm going to try to turn that down. I apologize. That first one was kind of loud. Okay, moving on to numero two.
In a shift that echoes the rapid conversion from horses to automobiles in the early 20th century, self-driving electric vehicles will fully replace all cars and trucks on the road.
I can tell you right now, that might seem ideal in a lot of the big metropolitan areas, but, you know, out in the country and the country boys, they ain't going to be down with them electric vehicles, man, especially here in America. They only have a range of like 250 to 400 miles, maybe. Maybe. Most of them are like 250, which means that you can't really take a road trip, you know, a long road trip, you know, and then you have to stop somewhere. And then if you die before you get to where you need to stop, you're screwed. You're screwed big time. So I don't think that electric vehicles are going to take over in 24 years, because I lived in the year 2000. And they were saying that back then. They were like, oh, in 20 years, we're going to have electric vehicles all over the place. Well, yeah, they had the Prius. And how many people drive around a Prius? Right? You'll see them in the bigger cities. But it's not like everybody's driving an electric vehicle. It's not happening. It's not going to happen by 2024 or 2050. Okay, let's move on to number three. We'll take a look, see what they say.
Space program will fully transition to a space industry, supported not by tax dollars, but by tourism and anything else people dream of doing in space.
Okay, so that one, let's rewind it and see what he said there again. He's saying that the human space program...
human space program will fully transition to a space industry, supported not by tax dollars, but by tourism.
Okay, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that want to be tourists in space, dude. Lance Bass from NSYNC wants to be a tourist in space, and was, I think. And you had, you know, some guys go out into the limit of space, right? Just outside of our atmosphere, like Bezos and a couple of these other guys. They're like, you know, Bezos came back like a cowboy with the cowboy hat. I mean, geez, come on, guy, come on. But, you know, tourism... there's no lunar Hilton that I'm aware of yet. They're talking about the moon train, and they're just starting to develop a 10-year plan to even consider putting it up there, which means the plan is going to take itself 10 years. So you're talking 2034, and then to actually initiate that plan and start it up, that's going to take probably another 5 years. So that puts you at almost 2040. And then to start shipping that stuff up there, how long is that going to take? And then to build the thing, I mean, and that's just the train. That's not even hotels and everything else. So again, I think this prediction is a bit jumpy too. Unless he's saying, oh no, we're just going to be like tourists to do kangaroo jumps around the moon, if that's all you want to do. But I'm not hopping on a flight to just go do bunny hops on the moon, man. There better be some badass stuff to do up there and something to do up there. So let's check out the next one here. Let's see what they have to say.
And anything else people dream of doing in space. We develop a perfect antiviral serum and cure cancer.
What? In 25 years, we're going to cure cancer? Dude, how much money has been spent on trying to cure cancer? A whole shit ton. Billions of dollars. Maybe trillions. You know, and everybody thinks they have the perfect solution. CBD oil. CBG oil, Rick Simpson oil, garlic, chemotherapy, meditation. I mean, you name it, man, turmeric. I mean, you know, and I try to take as many of those as I can. But, you know, you never, they never have a perfect cure. They're going to develop a serum. Okay. So think about this just for a moment. If we cure cancer, cancer's like, what, number two killer of all people around the world? If we cure cancer, our human kind is going to skyrocket. We're going to be screwed with resources. We went from, like, what, 2 billion people, I don't know, back in, like, 1940 or 50 to, like, what, 8 billion people now in 2024? We can't be curing. I mean, they're not going to cure cancer. They're not going to cure cancer at all. They're just going to put Band-Aids on it and hope you take chemo, and that's about it.
Medicines will tailor to your own DNA, leaving no adverse side effects.
Now, that is something that Emery Smith has talked about, who has worked on the secret projects for the government. And those are some of the technology that they actually have down in Area 51 and some of these high bases, high top security bases. But they're not going to release it for us, man, because you can't have this many people live on the planet and survive. Like, I almost think that that's why we have the economy that we have right now. It's almost like they're trying to kill off the stupid people or the people that can't figure out a way to make a dollar or the people that, you know, just don't, they don't feel deserved to live. You know, it's kind of like the economic purge versus the actual physical purge. So even if they can do this, it's not going to be released.
We will learn how to regrow lost limbs and failing organs, bringing us up to the level of other regenerating animals on Earth, like salamanders, starfish, and lobster.
Now, that would be cool. And it's going to lead me to my next thing. But could we actually become similar to a salamander, similar to some of these creatures that can regenerate? That would be awesome. That would be ideal. That would be really cool. I don't think they're going to give it to us, though. You know, I just don't think they're going to give it to us. I think that it's going to be held for the few, the proud, like the Marines, for the people that need it. And it's not going to be for us. I mean, like, look at the insurance that we have here in America, man. You're either on Medicaid or Blue Cross Blue Shield. And neither one of those is going to let you get just a free arm, dude. They're just going to chop it off. So, yeah. So it kind of brings me to my next point, because if they're talking about regenerating and blending DNAs to allow us to regenerate things, Emery Smith actually brought this up in his in one of his recent talks. He did a symposium actually back in 2020 that I just found on Gaia, and he was talking about a moss man. And this moss man was a plant-based humanoid that had the five-star, you know, head, two arms, two legs, body, a humanoid body, but it had like plant life growing off of its shoulders and arms, and it had like sea moss growing over its head. And it was sentient, it was telepathic, and it communicated with him, and it was an inner earth being. So it learned to adapt in inner earth. When we're talking about Agartha, and we're talking about, people that live there, that's kind of what inner earth is known as, is Agartha. Now, this sea moss, moss man, is about the same height as a human, about four to 6 feet, depending on the individual. Telepathic, though, so doesn't use verbal guttural sounds like we have to. I almost get tired, right? If you have a job where you have to talk all the time, like if you're in sales or anything, you know, where you have to talk a lot, don't you get tired at the end of the day? Like, God dang, I wish I could just be telepathic. These entities have figured it out. These are the DNA type of modifications we need to make for humans. We don't need more regenerate my arm. Like, how many people get their arms chopped off? But if you need to regenerate a liver, that might be handy. I'd rather have telepathy. I'll tell you why. If we could figure out telepathy to be more like the Moss Man, then all of our technology would increase triple fold right away. because there'd be no slowing down of communication and there'd be no miscommunication. One of the most important things when we talk about sales or we talk about the transfer of power between different forces over the years, right? We're talking about like Alexander the Great, we're talking about Xerxes, and we're talking about like, you know, 300 and stuff like that. Was a problem in communication. Nobody spoke the same language, so the communication was always an issue. And if you can be telepathic, you're going to have more peace, and your technology is going to go through the roof very rapidly, because there's not going to be any miscommunication. It's going to be pure communication, and the ideas will blend, and the technology will exponentially grow. So the Moss Man is more along the lines of what I would like to see happen, where we have a symbiotic relationship with the Earth, and we have a symbiotic relationship with ourselves. It's interesting that Emery stated that we have a Moss Man, because if you think about it, mushrooms, right, and other plant life that grow underneath the earth, not underneath the surface of the earth, they have roots, they have connections, and they form communities. When they put those molds together, they form communities and pathways, and the most effective pathways to communicate. A study was done in Tokyo where they decided to create their roadway system based off of a mold and fungus map that it created, a communication map of its own development, because they knew that that was going to be the most effective way to run their traffic system. It was based off of the most effective natural creation out of fungi, right, and mold. So to have a symbiotic relationship, to have some fungi in you or growing on you, and having this communication, you have to wonder if that part of that DNA is giving the Moss Man or these moss creatures the ability to be telepathic. And the beauty of telepathy is that you can communicate with a broad range of entities, humans, ant people that supposedly live underground as well. You can communicate with the reptilians, the Pleiadians, the Arcturians, and you don't have to learn a language. I often feel like as a human, we're very resilient, but we're not very smart, or we haven't evolved enough to the point where we can be telepathic, and maybe there's just like that trigger switch that we just haven't hit because we haven't ascended enough emotionally and spiritually and communally to allow ourselves to have that. So kind of going back to these ideas that Neil deGrasse Tyson had, you know, predictions of the future. I don't really believe in a lot of them. I don't agree with him. He's probably smarter than me, but I don't agree with him. I don't think that we're going to get there. I think those are ideas that probably could happen, but they're probably not going to happen for another 75 years, probably. Probably more towards the turn of the century, you know, 2100. Because I think we're going to have some bumps along the way. I think we're going to have bumps with AI. I think we're going to have bumps with like civil wars. I think we're, you know, at least in America, there's going to be some kind of problem, and you know, there's going to be some wars that set us back. You know, wars do set a lot of people back big time. Look at World War II; it set Germany back at least 10 years. You know, well, look at World War I; it set Germany back what 20, 30 years till they could have World War II. You know, and redevelop themselves. So it sets countries back. And war's inevitable. We still have them today. We've got Ukraine and Russia fighting for 2 years. We have Iran and Israel fighting right now. So we're going to have setbacks. So I just don't think it's going to happen that fast. But I think that there's going to be some interesting companies that are going to be startups. They're going to be able to use AI to develop these DNA technologies and blend some species together. If I pull this up here, So here's a picture of their Moss Man, and it's really cool. Emery talks about it briefly.
The Moss Man, I get a lot of heat for this one, and they had a being kept in captivity, and this is in New Mexico as well, that was very human-like, and it grew moss on it, and you couldn't really see the face, because I'm not even sure if it had one, but it it was conscious, and it was telepathic, and they do have, you know, there's also a lot of ETs that work with us in the governments and the projects, and then there's other ones that are kept in captivity, and I don't know why.
So it's just interesting because he actually shows a picture of it, and he's actually, you know, worked with them, and they've worked on projects in the government as well. So kind of cool to see just what they kind of look like. And there was a photo too of the pterodactyl species that works with us on a very spiritual level that he had. I'd have to find it, but I might pull it up for the next podcast because we're going to talk about maybe Dolce Base, maybe some secret powers, and maybe pull up a map of what one person drew as Dolce Base, including the Nightmare Hall. So anyway, I'm going to wrap it up there. I guess I have a question for you. If you could be one with nature, and they said, we can make you one with nature, we can insert some of this DNA into you, and you would grow a little bit of moss. You would grow a little bit of roots, maybe. Maybe, you know, you could be as strong as a tree, even. You know, maybe you could, like, transform partially into a tree. Like, if somebody's shooting at you and you have the superpower to turn into a tree with your arm to block the bullets, you know, and then, like, you know, push them out or something like that with your plant life. Would you do it? Just to have telepathy and have that power. Yeah, you might be a little bit mossy, but, you know, who of us, you know, are perfect? And, you know, you see those unfortunate guys. There's a guy called the Tree Man who has, like, this, like, virus where his hand has basically turned into, like, this huge tree trunk. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that. It's a virus. It's not, like, something you want to have. But it looks like something that would be like if we developed a DNA and turned into the Moss Man, and how it would look if you had, like, a tree roots for arms that kind of coming off, and even I think he has some on his face too. So it's really interesting, and you almost wonder, it's like, man, how did that even develop, right? How did that virus even develop, and how does that turn into what looks like a tree trunk or tree roots coming off him, almost like he's turning into Groot? It's really interesting. So anyway, what do you think about Neil's predictions? Do you think they're going to come true? They're going to solve all of our problems, and we're going to be on the moon. We're going to have a cure for cancer, and transportation is going to be 100% different. We're all going to have electric cars within 24 years, 25 years. Or do you think the Neil's predictions are a little bit off, and that we should just try to manipulate our DNA for ourselves and not worry about, you know, going out into space, worrying about what we have here versus space? Anyway, we'll talk more about powers and more about how we can transform ourselves in the next podcast. I hope you enjoyed this one. I hope you guys are having a great day, taking care of yourself physically, spiritually, emotionally. Follow through on your hobbies and your goals and your dreams. And as always, continue to question the universe around you. Until next time, guys, take care of yourselves. And Lockdown Universe is out. Go like, follow, share, subscribe. Peace.